Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be looking at the blog of a guy named Milan. He's a climate activist and science communicator. And as he's approaching his 40th birthday, he's wrestling with some pretty big questions. His blog posts are really a fascinating mix, a blend of personal reflections on aging and anxieties about the future of humanity.
You know, what really strikes me about his writing is there's this interesting contrast between the deeply personal and the global.
Yeah.
Like he's grappling with, you know, feelings of isolation and trying to figure out where he fits in the world, all while facing these very real threats of climate change and even nuclear war.
Yeah, it's a pretty unique perspective. He's writing about solitary Christmas Eves and the challenges of, you know, finding a job after finishing his PhD. And in the same breath, he's thinking about, you know, a comet strike wiping out humanity. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on how he kind of weaves these two seemingly disparate threads together.
Well, I think it speaks to a common human experience.
Mm-hmm. You know?
It's this tension between our own personal lives and the larger forces that are shaping the world around us. Milan's blog is kind of this intimate look at how one person is trying to make sense of these complex and often conflicting realities.
So let's start with Milan's personal journey. He's hitting that big milestone birthday 40 and seems to be doing some serious soul searching. He talks about this feeling of isolation, especially after the pandemic, and how his social circle just seems to be shrinking.
Yeah, he even mentioned spending Christmas Eves alone in the past, and how the pandemic really amplified that feeling of isolation. You know, I think a lot of people can relate to that, that sense of social upheaval and isolation in the wake of the pandemic. It's like we're all reevaluating our connections and trying to figure out where we fit in now.
And for someone like Milan, who's deeply concerned about the climate, he's made some choices that have further contributed to this feeling of isolation. You know, he's chosen not to travel long distances because of its environmental impact, which has really limited his opportunities to maintain friendships and connections.
Yeah, it's almost like a paradox, right? He's trying to live ethically and reduce his impact, but it's come at the cost of social connection. Yeah. He talks about losing touch with friends in the UK after finishing his MPhil at Oxford, and how even friendships here in Vancouver have kind of faded over time. I wonder if his isolation might even be fueling his anxieties about the future.
That's a good point. It's like the more isolated he feels, the more he seems to fixate on these worst case scenarios. Do you think that's a common reaction to climate anxiety, this sort of retreat inwards?
There's definitely a psychological component to climate anxiety, and it can manifest in different ways. You know, for some people, it leads to activism and a desire to make a difference. But for others like Milan, it can lead to feelings of helplessness and withdrawal. It's like the weight of the world's problems becomes too much to bear.
He also talks about how this choice not to travel hasn't really influenced anyone else to follow suit, which has led him to believe that individual action isn't enough to solve this big crisis. That requires systemic change. It's almost like he's disillusioned with the impact of his personal choices.
That's a really thought-provoking observation, and it highlights the limitations of individual action in the face of these global challenges. But it also speaks to the emotional toll that comes with trying to live ethically. In a world that often feels resistant to change, I can imagine it can be quite disheartening to feel like your efforts are making no difference.
He even goes as far as to say there's been no real normal since the Industrial Revolution, that the world's constantly changing. But now he sees ecological disruption as the main driver, which leads to more technological, social, and political upheaval. It's like he's watching this snowball effect happening, and he just feels powerless to stop it.
And it's that sense of powerlessness that seems to be feeding into his anxieties about the future. I mean, he is facing a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
But it's against this backdrop of a world that feels increasingly uncertain and precarious.
So how does he cope with all of this? You know, he's experiencing this isolation. He feels like his actions aren't enough. And he's facing the potential collapse of the world as we know it. It's a lot to handle.
It's interesting because despite all of that, the isolation, the disillusionment, you know, the potential for global catastrophe, Milan doesn't really seem to give into despair. Mm. In fact, he talked about finding a sense of stability after finishing his PhD and starting this new job. But those anxieties about the future, you know, especially concerning climate change and nuclear war, they haven't really disappeared.
He even uses the word apocalypse in one of his posts. Like, he describes this future where technology and biology merge, and humanity as we know it just ceases to exist. It's pretty heavy stuff.
What's fascinating is that, you know, alongside those fears, he also expresses this really deep appreciation for the everyday. Like, he talks about you know, applying himself fully to every task, whether it's photographing a conference, making a sandwich, advocating for climate stability. He approaches everything with this same level of dedication and care.
There's this one line that really stood out to me. He says, "No repeats are guaranteed, so I try to do my very best at everything I do." It's like he's found a way to find meaning and purpose in the face of potential catastrophe by really embracing the present moment. Have you ever encountered this kind of philosophy before?
Yeah, it reminds me of the Stoic philosophers who emphasize living in accordance with nature and accepting what's beyond our control. You know, for Milan, that means focusing on what he can control, his actions, his effort, his presence in each moment, rather than dwelling on the what-ifs and the worst-case scenarios. It's a way of finding agency and purpose in a world that can often feel chaotic and unpredictable.
But then there's this jarring contrast in his blog. You know, while he's over here finding meaning and making sandwiches, he also includes this really chilling comment from a reader detailing a hypothetical nuclear war scenario. And it's laid out, like, minute by minute, starting with North Korea launching an ICBM at the Pentagon.
And from there, it escalates so rapidly. Russia misinterprets American missile launches as an attack and retaliates. And within hours, we're looking at hundreds of millions dead and much of the Northern Hemisphere uninhabitable. It's this terrifyingly vivid illustration of just how fragile our world really is.
That scenario really stuck with me. It makes you think, how do you find meaning in making a sandwich when you have this potential for utter devastation hanging over everything?
I think that's precisely the point that he's grappling with. You know, he's not trying to downplay the seriousness of these threats, but he's also choosing not to let them paralyze him. He's finding a way to live fully in the present, even while acknowledging the very real dangers of the future.
It's almost like he's saying, yes, the world could end tomorrow, but that doesn't mean I have to stop living today.
Exactly. It's about finding that balance between, you know, acknowledging the precariousness of our existence and choosing to embrace the beauty and the meaning that can still be found in every moment.
I'm curious, how do you think this perspective of his might resonate with someone who's listening to this right now and maybe struggling with their own anxieties about the future?
I think Milan's story offers a couple of really important takeaways. First, it normalizes these feelings of anxiety and isolation. Like, it's okay to feel overwhelmed by the state of the world. And second, it suggests that, you know, finding meaning in the everyday, in those small acts of creation and connection, can be a really powerful antidote to despair. It's not about ignoring the problems, but about finding a way to live with them without being completely consumed by them.
He also talks about how graduating has actually heightened his anxieties. It's like losing the built-in structure for meeting new people that came with being in school, and now he's feeling that isolation even more acutely.
Yeah, this is such a relatable experience, especially for those of us who maybe felt that same sense of loss after leaving a structured academic environment. It really highlights the importance of being intentional about creating new social connections as we move through these different phases of life.
He seems to be caught in this cycle where expressing these feelings of isolation only leads to even less social contact. It's like the more he tries to reach out, the further people pull away.
It's an unfortunate but understandable dynamic. You know, we as humans are often drawn to positivity and can feel uncomfortable when confronted with difficult emotions. But it underscores the need for creating spaces where vulnerability and honest expression are welcomed and encouraged. We need to be able to talk about these things, especially when they feel overwhelming, without fear of judgment or rejection.
He does clarify that he doesn't want to paint an entirely bleak picture. You know, he knows he's been fortunate in life, but he's still trying to reconcile these feelings of gratitude with the overwhelming fear and despair he feels about the state of the world. It's a lot to hold at once.
And that's a really important point. You know, he's not denying the good in his life. He's acknowledging the complexity of holding both positive and negative emotions simultaneously, which is something I think a lot of us can relate to. We can be grateful for what we have and still feel deeply concerned about the state of the world.
He also mentions how fictional portrayals of milestone birthdays like turning 40 have set him up with these unrealistic expectations, and now he feels like he's somehow falling short.
It speaks to the power of societal narratives and how they can really shape our perceptions of ourselves.
Yeah.
We internalize these messages about what it means to be successful and happy at a certain age. And when our reality doesn't match up, it can lead to those feelings of inadequacy and self-doubt.
And that just adds to his existing feelings of anxiety and isolation. It's a reminder that even as we grapple with these global issues, we're also dealing with our own personal struggles and anxieties.
Absolutely. The personal and the global are constantly intertwined. And Milan's writing captures this tension beautifully. He's honest about his internal conflicts and anxieties, while simultaneously engaging with these larger existential questions about the future of humanity. It's a reminder that we're not alone in navigating these complex and challenging emotions.
He talks about hoping for a return to some sense of normalcy after the pandemic, but that hope keeps getting dashed. It feels like everyone is just exhausted, worn down by this constant stream of bad news and uncertainty.
It's like we're all experiencing this collective fatigue, and it's making it harder to connect with each other, even when connection is what we need most. It highlights the importance of finding ways to build resilience, both individually and collectively. We need to support each other, create spaces for open and honest dialogue, and find ways to replenish our emotional reserves so we can continue to engage with the world without becoming completely overwhelmed.
He also points out that this exhaustion is leading people to withdraw from social connection, which just feeds back into that cycle of isolation and anxiety. It's like this vicious circle that's hard to break free from.
It speaks to a phenomenon that sociologists have been studying called social cocooning, where people prioritize their close relationships and limit interactions with the wider world. It's an understandable response to the stress and uncertainty of recent years, but it can also contribute to those feelings of isolation and disconnection.
Milan also reflects on how he's noticed a shift in social dynamics post-pandemic. It's like everyone's retreated into these smaller circles, and they've become less engaged with the world around them.
This is something that I think many of us have observed as well. The pandemic seems to have accelerated this trend of social fragmentation, making it even harder to foster a sense of shared purpose and collective action. It raises questions about how we can rebuild social trust and create a sense of belonging in a world that feels increasingly divided and disconnected.
Yeah, it feels like Milan is walking this tightrope between hope and despair, trying to stay engaged with the world without being completely consumed by anxiety. It's a struggle I think a lot of us can relate to.
Absolutely. And, you know, what makes Milan's writing so compelling is his willingness to be so open and honest about his own internal conflicts. It reminds us that we're not alone in these struggles.
He also brings up this idea of cruelty being a central part of life. Like, we never get as much of the good stuff as we want. And even the most cherished experiences can be cut short without warning. It's a bit of a bleak outlook. But it seems to motivate him to live more fully in the present moment.
Yeah, there's a certain wisdom in that perspective, you know? Recognizing the ephemeral nature of life can make us appreciate the beauty of each moment. It encourages us to savor the good times while they last and not take anything for granted.
He even says he stopped thinking of tasks as the first in a long string of repeats. You know, instead, he approaches everything as if it's the only time he'll ever get to do it, whether it's making a sandwich or writing a blog post.
That's a fascinating approach. It shifts the focus from the outcome to the process itself, finding joy in the act of creation rather than striving for some future reward.
And it all ties back to his anxieties about the future. You know, if a comet could wipe us out tomorrow or nuclear war could erupt at any moment, doesn't it make sense to pour our hearts into everything we do right here, right now?
It's a powerful way of reframing our relationship with time and with the world around us, recognizing the fragility of life and choosing to live more fully in the present moment, even while acknowledging those uncertainties of the future.
So what can we take away from all of this? Milan's journey is unique, but his writing touches on some pretty universal themes, like the struggle to find meaning in a chaotic world, the tension between personal anxieties and global concerns, the search for connection in an increasingly isolated world.
I think Milan's story reminds us that it's okay to feel these things, to feel anxious, to feel isolated, to feel overwhelmed. It encourages us to embrace the present moment, to find meaning in the everyday, and to remember that even in the darkest of times, there's still beauty to be found, connections to be made, and purpose to be discovered.
It's a powerful message that by acknowledging our own anxieties and embracing the fragility of life, we can find a way to live more fully and meaningfully in the present moment. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Milan's world. We hope it's given you some food for thought as you navigate your own journey.
It's been a pleasure exploring these ideas with you.
And to you listening, we hope you'll continue to ponder these questions. How do you find meaning and connection in a world facing such immense challenges? What small acts of creation and connection bring you joy? How can you embrace the present moment while still working towards a better future? These are questions worth exploring, and we encourage you to keep searching for your own answers.